Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoy the program.
And on ABC Radio and on your pod, you're with me, Noel Debien, and this is The Good Life. It's the year of the snake, or perhaps more correctly, the little dragon, as the annual Lunar New Year begins celebrations from last night and today. You may have seen some of the colourful processions or dances if you live in a city or town with significant Chinese-Australian population, but many parts of Asia celebrate it. You may receive the good luck red envelopes, stuffed with cash, that are traditional as gifts. If you live on Australia's Christmas Island and you're not in a detention camp, you even get a two-day public holiday for Lunar New Year. Well, the origins of this, the Spring Festival, are so ancient they're pretty difficult to actually track down. But about a fifth of the world, that's over a billion people, are celebrating it. It's calculated sort of, well, basically on the lunar calendar, and so it's wrapped up in the notion of the Chinese zodiac, of astrological influences. The year, the day, and the moment on which you're born are seen by many Chinese people to determine your characteristics as a person. And this is part of a 60-year cycle, the most significant of Chinese traditional holidays, and of course in many other Asian nations. The Good Life is setting out to find out a little bit more about the significance of this new year in the minds of the Chinese. But this year in particular, with a Chinese Christian leader. Chinese-born Dr. Ji Zhang is the Australian Uniting Church's newly appointed Manager of Church Partnerships in Asia. And I began by asking him to give me roughly an idea of the main things that Lunar New Year celebrates.
I think there are three things. One is family. It is like Christmas. Everyone returns to their family. In China now, probably all the railway networks, they are flooded. Bus terminals are full of people. That's the annual pilgrimage everyone takes to go home, no matter what.
Sunday the 10th of February is the day of New Year's Eve, yeah?
That's right. So return to family is the first key part of Chinese New Year. It's the family time. The second thing for me is every year we celebrate the time which you belong to. According to the ancient Taoist tradition, everyone's born in a particular location of time and space matrix.
12, I think, signs of the zodiac for the Chinese.
That's right, there are 12. And this year in the West is translated as the year of snake, but in Chinese we give a far better name. It's called Little Dragon.
Oh, Little Dragon.
Or Small Dragon.
Well, my Chinese friends who refer to others who are born in the year of the snake often say things like, oh, she's a snake. And it sounds a bit insulting, as if they're sneaky.
That's right.
But in fact, I can say, well, why don't you call her a little dragon?
Well, dragon is a symbol of prosperity. In the creation story, dragon represents the positive energy, which can only work with the negative energy of yin to bring the world into being. So dragon is a symbol, not like in the West, it's very negative, scary.
So the dragon is positive in Chinese?
Oh, very
thinking.
Much positive. It's a potency of life.
Well, we think of fire-breathing, threatening, but you're saying it's about prosperity and potency.
Oh, yes, it's a potency of life. And the third part to do with Chinese New Year is the way we look into the future and step into a new time. You leave the negative things behind. Do you begin with a new year to scare all the bad demons away?
Oh, this is the old story. That's firecrackers are about the ghosts and demons.
Yes, to keep them away. So you welcome, you open your door by putting firecrackers, literally to crack open your time, your calendar. There's no way to describe it.
I can see the smile on your face.
Yeah,
You're remembering things that give you pleasure.
Yeah, it still gives me plenty of pleasure when I bring my kids to Chinatown every year.
Now, it's very interesting. You know all the tradition, clearly, and you love it because you're smiling even as you talk about it, and you're teaching your children this.
Yeah.
But you're also a Christian leader.
Yes.
What you're engaged to do in the Uniting Church here is to actually engage with the Asian Christian churches.
Yes.
Now, what I want to ask you is, how do you as a Christian relate to this zodiac idea? I believe you're, for example, born in the year of the horse, for example.
Yes.
So you know about it.
Yeah, I do. Somehow my mother gave me the name Ji. Usually it's the father who carries that task. In Chinese means a horse, not only a horse, but perfect horse. I'm the first son.
So your name is your birth year, the year of the horse.
Yes, yes. And she was right. I'm running everywhere, from north to south, and to bring people together.
I suppose where I'm coming from, to be more obvious about it, is, for example, growing up, I heard Christian priests denouncing the zodiac, for example.
Sure, yeah.
But it seems to me that you have a more, how would I put it, relaxed and even positive approach to the cultural meaning of this. Mm.
It's a part of the tradition which lasts over 3,000 years. The zodiac basically is a calendar system. A lot of people say it's a lunar calendar, but actually it's not entirely true.
Oh?
It's a combination of lunar calendar, but together to understand the cosmos through a very different cosmology, which started by the Taoist tradition.
So when you say cosmology, we're using a technical word, we're talking about the way the universe fits together, the way it makes meaning.
That's right. So, for example, the West, before Einstein, we pretty much follow the Newton traditions.
This is the physics that we're all familiar with.
That's right. That's right.
Linear time, development.
It's a mechanical universe. But in the East, the Taoist tradition, that inference is a different universe. In the West, we use as a mechanical universe, like a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the symbol for Chinese universe understanding is everything's alive. Everything's evolving just like a crucible or the chemistry. Life is evolving constantly, giving birth.
Mm.
So it's a very different worldview.
Dynamic, you're saying?
Very much dynamic and organic too, how life connects to each other. There are three key parts of the Chinese intellectual foundation. The first part is Taoist tradition. Act according to nature. That's the highest principle, because nature evolving in the way is far beyond human control. Say, for example, climate change. The Taoist will say, you have done wrong because you want to control nature rather to live with it. The second part of the Chinese intellectual tradition is the Confucian tradition. Confucian is more to do with how to use your own virtue to govern the world.
A system of virtue.
Yes, it's ethics. Fundamentally, it's ethics. And the third part is to do with the Buddhist tradition, which introduced to China. And these three provides what we call the tripod situation throughout Chinese history.
So Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism, these are three essential elements in Chinese culture and thinking.
And you ask me how am I a Chinese, but also a church minister, to live with the cultural Christian faith, the difference. In the past, we often think that gospel is above culture. In certain circumstances, we even think that gospel, when it is introduced, culture has to be denied.
This is an old story of Christianity, saying we will bring you our culture, and we disguise, for example, the English arriving in any given country and telling the local people they should now wear tweed jackets, wear hats, ride a bike, write and speak English, because we're your Christian missionaries and you need to adopt our culture so that you can understand Christianity, which is pretty rough, but that's pretty much what happened in some places.
Yeah, in some places.
Well, can I ask you, we're Chinese New Year, we're one of the, well, it's probably the bedrock celebration for the Chinese, as you said, for family, for the nation. Everybody's going home, everybody's eating fabulous food. It's a time of renewal. But there was a long time when China regarded Christianity as a foreign religion. At this time of renewal, how do you square that? Chinese Christian, there are millions of them now in China, as you know, and it's your job to engage with them. Is it still foreign for the Chinese?
The answer is yes and no. Because if we talk about Chinese history, Chinese people measure history in centuries rather in years.
Right.
In that regard, Christianity is relatively new. It is an introduced religion. That's how the Chinese people think. But that's not entirely true. For example, the first introduction of Christianity to China is not through Protestant mission, nor by the Jesuits or Franciscans. They are by the Church of the East or the Nestorian Church movement during the 6th to the 9th century. I've been to those places where the monument is still there. I have done the translation of the inscription.
Can I ask about the new year? Again, I want you to give your response as both a Chinese and as a Christian minister. There are three things that seem to pop up all the time: luck, prosperity, longevity. But those three things, they can be construed as antithetical to Christianity. Luck, is it about luck or is it about blessing? Prosperity, is it something you can get by, you know, observing customs or not? Or is that, again, blessing from God? How do you make sense of those key Chinese ideas of luck, prosperity, longevity?
Well, everyone needs a little bit luck.
Of course.
Well, in church, we do prayer services, especially for the poor. During the festival season, we distribute food parcels to other people. So we share our luck with other people.
This is a New Year custom as well, the giving of food.
It's an obligation of every Chinese. If whoever is hungry on that day, you feed them. And the Christian people do the same thing. We do that through Christmas appeal, Christmas bowl, for example. That's the famous Christian tradition. So we share our prosperity too with other people.
Well, it sounds to me like if you were standing in a Chinese town right now, you wouldn't see much difference between what Chinese Christians were doing and Chinese Buddhists or Chinese atheists. They'd all be doing pretty much the same thing for New Year.
Culture is culture. I often describe it's a living tradition in everyone's life. You mentioned food is part of it. I mentioned right at the beginning the family gathering, and these are the sort of things everyone's doing. In the Christian church, when I was there 2 weeks ago, they're already preparing for a massive collective banquet for the church.
So the church actually comes together as a community to do
this
as well?
Yes, and the very important part is to celebrate New Year for the elderly. China has become increasingly middle class. The consequence of that is people live longer. Their children probably far away. Can't be just immediately back for gathering. So the church provides the community for them.
So it's filling a gap, in other words, that you're saying. As Chinese society changes, people get older. Some older people are less connected to their families.
True.
So the church is stepping up?
True. There is a gradual breaking down of the traditional values. It's simply about the modern lifestyle. For example, I live in Australia. My sisters live in China. And the family can no longer be all together at once.
So it has changed. You can't be together for New Year's Day.
Yeah, but we always make sure. Now we have Skype, but in the past we always call each other. And we greet each other, wish each other the best wishes for the coming New Year. And the church does that too, to bring the culture together and to celebrate together through public gathering and through worship services, through different events. For example, I will give red pockets to my kids.
Oh, the little red envelopes with the Chinese writing, which have money inside.
Yes, I always looking forward to those red pockets when I was a kid. I saved those money for books and, of course, firecrackers. And they will probably do the same thing. My son's dream this year is to save enough to buy his telescope.
I have seen these envelopes. There's a flurry of them, isn't there, at New Year?
Oh, yes, yes.
Everybody's giving each other an envelope with $50 or $100 in it or
whatever
they can afford. But it's a it's an interesting custom because I know that as a Western person of Western background, we don't actually have the same custom of giving cash. We tend to give a gift.
No, that's right. But again, Chinese people are very practical people.
But if you get the money, you can choose what you want. You don't have to put up with the gift that somebody else thought you might like.
Yeah, and often in a lot of countryside, it's the men, the sons, are leaving home and working factories, building iPhones or building railway bridges, building high-speed railway and underground tunnels, whatever, you name it. So the family will do everything they can to support that person because that person will come back to look after the family. Chinese culture, when I grew up, I was told the golden principle is relationship. Like if you work in real estate agent, they will tell you location, location, location. in Chinese tradition. In fact, in a lot of Asian traditions, it's about relationship. And that's also a part of what Uniting Church stands. The part of work I'm called to do in Uniting Church is to build relationships with our Asian neighbors through the church. It's the same principle.
So not contradict Chinese culture, in other words, but understand it.
Yes.
And understand it, and then, in fact, work to find how you might engage better with it.
Yes.
It's effectively what you're
saying. That's right. And that's also what church believes, and also what Chinese people believe. Life is inwardly connected, and life attracts life. That's the simple life philosophy.
The Reverend Dr. Ji Zhang there, the newly appointed Uniting Church Manager of Church Partnerships in Asia, speaking on his experience as a Chinese Christian of Lunar New Year. And next week in part two of this, we'll focus a little more on the actual churches within China, the emerging Christian churches, and their experience of the New Year and their place in Chinese society.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. You can download your favourite Sunday night interviews from our website at abc.net.au/sundaynights with an S. Thank you for listening.